and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James.
And that's it.
Yep.
But that's okay, because we have a special guest.
Yay!
Woo, that's me. I'm Jake.
Hi,
Yay,
Jake.
Hey, Jake. All right. So, yeah, as you can tell, Jenna's not here, because Jenna is the ill.
Real ill.
She's illin.
Yeah. And so, too, will we be. Apparently. Very shortly.
Because, god damn it.
We're fresh from tonight's lab. Tonight's Fearless Lab. And Dennis, our dear, lovely, wonderful, hilarious friend, Dennis.
I don't know how I got roped into this. I wasn't
They came up to me after their performance, after I told them how good their set was. And they said, give my love to Salsa. And I winked and I said, I will. And they said, in Malort form, promise me.
I feel like giving someone love in Malort form is not making them drink it.
Maybe. The thing is, I didn't want you to suffer alone. We are brothers.
You could have replaced this with turpentine, and I would have not known the difference.
Yes, you would have known, because it would have tasted like turpentine instead of worse than turpentine.
It probably would have improved the flavor. Yeah.
So, Jake, you're in on this with us, and I'm real fucking sad for you.
Okay.
Yeah, are you ready?
You drew the short
no,
straw
but
on
here
that
we
one.
Go okay. Anyway.
Alley-oop.
God damn it.
Pitter patter. Okay, as bad as you think it is, it's gonna get worse. It's not improving.
And then you were right. Ah!
It's like licorice gin.
No. Ah, but there's like a hard bitterness.
Turpentine, yes.
It's so mean.
Okay.
That's okay, though. We got something else to wash this
down. Yeah, we do, we do. All right, so quick. Cider, and I'm going to pour everybody a reward booze.
We've got the totally roasted cider again.
And it's immediately better.
Good. I am glad. Have some rum.
Please and thank
Has
you.
Has the Malort been Dr. Pepper tested yet?
Oh, fuck. You know I have to now.
Well, yeah,
oh,
I'm asking if it has. I don't remember
no,
if we did.
No, I didn't.
We didn't? Okay, we'll have to do that.
Okay.
At some point.
All right.
We can do it later in
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, not... Oh, later in... All right.
Or another show.
Okay,
just, that,
yeah.
That does have
later
to happen.
Later
doesn't
eventually. Mean today.
Just remind means, me. Yeah. Just... I mean, I think I will still have this taste in my mouth.
Yeah. I still do.
It lingers. Ugh.
Oh, it's so bad. I hate
it's just... It's anger.
I hate
it's
you just so much, Dennis.
Liquid anger.
I have met Dennis one time. And by met, I mean we were introduced and I watched their set.
Yeah.
And I feel like we may be arch nemesis now.
Yeah.
Just based on that, it was a great set, but God, at what cost?
I cautioned you that you would have feelings.
I did. I'm having several. I'm only allowed really to have three at a time, so just...
I'm having three and five of them are anger.
I feel like Malort has to be its own emotion, and I think I'm just going to keep that in my back pocket for the next time I feel this.
That is an accurate description of how that tastes. It is its own emotion.
Yeah.
Who came up, who bottled that and went, somebody's going to pay money for this?
You know, I don't know, but I think it's the, I think Malort...
Then again, people buy Jägermeister too, so I don't...
See, I'm fine with Jäg.
I'm not. I don't like licorice.
I do. I love licorice, and this is foul.
Some weird, bastardization of licorice, and also just pain and sin.
I believe I'm well known for liking things, many things, and even things that other people do not enjoy, and I don't like Malort.
It just doesn't sound appetizing, even.
Yeah,
this
it doesn't,
sounds
exactly.
like something you make up for, like, I don't know, a podcast, as, like, you're brought to you by Malort, this totally non-run-by-evil scientist corporation.
No, they're evil. Malort is the feeling of being caught in a lie to your parents at a young age. Any other thoughts?
Well, let's break it down. Malort.
Okay. Yeah.
Mal
bad.
Bad.
Ort.
Cloud. Yeah.
Or leftovers.
Oh, is that
the orts are the crumbs and scraps that you that are left over afterwards. So the stuff that you scrape off your plate into the trash.
I didn't know.
Those are the orts.
Really?
So this is the bad version of that.
Oh, so this is the bad bits of anything that might have actually been good, just all scraped into a barrel and then left to age.
Yeah, so when you take you know, you finish carving the chicken and you're just left with like fat and bits of skin.
I eat those.
On the that's what's left. The bad parts of that.
But I eat those.
We're not here to judge you, James. We're just here to acknowledge maybe that's
just salsa is.
Just got done saying you'd eat anything though.
I do eat well, the thing is I will try most things.
Yeah. I will try most things. Doesn't mean I like them.
But yeah.
Please, somebody please talk about something more pleasant.
I want to say thank you to Cedia Scotchbringer for bringing Tomatin. I just had Tomatin 12 and
to wash it down.
It's better. It's not best. It's not great. That taste is still in there, but it's
I just realized you gave me some too.
Yes, I did. Because I treasure you. Yeah. All right. Whew. So.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things happened at lab. There's a reason that you are our special guest.
Okay, that's not ominous. This is almost as ominous when you asked if I would be on a podcast, and then I said something about knowing a little bit about what was coming up, and you just said, oh, we know.
Yeah.
So this isn't scary at all. We're just
Come down to my friend's basement?
No, he just called it the lab.
It is
just,
the lab.
I'll meet you at
it
the
is.
Lab,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is fine when you know things.
Yes.
I know three things right now. And one is that Malort is the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth so far.
Truth.
I believe that is exactly what that was the sales pitch that I gave you.
Yep.
It really was. Are you doing anything after this? And I said, no. And you're like, would you like to be on a podcast? I was like, sure. What is it about? Much Ado About Nothing, we're talking about Die Laughing.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I might do something with that. And you said, we know. That's exactly it.
So before we do start talking about Die Laughing, which, by the way, dear listener, in case you hadn't figured it out by now,
right.
We will. what you guys been up to? Have you been up to anything, James?
I have. I was actually just talking to them about it. I just started watching Letterkenny. And if you haven't watched it, fucking do it.
What's that?
Boy, howdy, get on it. Letterkenny is a slice of life series about a community of hicks in small town Letterkenny, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say it's like, it's got the quick repartee of Clerks, but it is the most Canadian thing I've ever seen in my life.
So it's like hockey and
so it's not no you would think that it was more hockey than it is.
There's
is
a
in fact
hockey,
there are two hockeys
much.
As I refer to hockey
there's
players
two, okay.
Two hockeys two singular hockey players
okay.
I was recently in a relationship with a Canadian and have been to Canada and have seen young men approximately the age of the Canadian hockey players in this show
sure
who also played hockey, and I can tell you it's very accurate. This is exactly how they are in their natural habitat. It's very accurate. But yeah, no, it follows the adventures of a merry band of adventurers who are just trying to have a good time in Hicksville, Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I find it far more appealing than the other show that is essentially that, which is Trailer Park Boys, which is fine. It's fine. It's just not...
But
Trailer
is
Park
it...
Boys is British, though, isn't it?
No, it's extremely Canadian.
Oh, I thought Trailer Park Boys was British.
Nope.
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
No. I have not seen it at all, so I thought I made an assumption.
I don't want to say that you're not missing anything, because there are things. There is a goodness there. And there are people
who
zero fucking love
it. I have zero desire to see Trailer Park Boys.
But I can't recommend it to you like I can Letterkenny. Oh, the burps from Malort mm-hmm. are so bad.
I don't want to think about that. I'm sure it's coming.
All right. It'll come up soon.
So this is a reality documentary.
No,
type?
No, not
no,
at all.
It's 100% a comedy.
Okay,
it
so
is.
It's like sitcom.
Yeah, but without the laugh track, what I enjoy about it, this is going to sound a little odd. I don't generally enjoy comedy because I feel like a lot of staged comedy can come off as really disingenuous, and especially when you have the laugh tracks in the background, that's kind of the cue to you that you should have found that funny. And so sometimes when you don't find that funny, it feels a little, get that, like, everything is slightly left of real.
No, I agree. Laugh tracks should die.
Terrible death. So Letterkenny doesn't have laugh tracks. What it does have instead is just very rapid-fire delivery of jokes at a very monotone level of speaking, so that as soon as you catch up to what had been said, you are having the best time, and they just do not stop. There are just little bits, like, 5 to 7 minutes, where they're just saying jokes back and forth to each other and delivering it as if it is a very serious conversation.
And I had been introduced to Letterkenny quite a while ago. My lord's kicking in. But I haven't had the opportunity until very recently to really sit down and invest myself in it. And you need to, because you can find good bits, but sitting down and just drinking it in is honestly
the bow.
Letterkenny follows a family, a found family, if you will, of Wayne, his sister Katie. A found family. So this is when you have friends that are basically your family. They keep showing up in your house and you just don't know when they got there. They don't really have a key, but nobody talks about it.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So they know how to jimmy the door handle so that it just opens anyway.
Right, and like you have that dog and you think the dog's going to protect you, but the dog likes the person a little better than you. So, something like that.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Sure. So you have Wayne and Katie, who are actually siblings. You also have Daryl and Squirrely Dan. And that's his whole name, is Squirrely Dan.
Yeah.
So they live out in Hicksville, which is called Letterkenny is the name of the town. And they have this issue in the town where, A, you have a group of kids called the Skids, who are meth heads, who are trying to develop meth in the town and kind of get everyone addicted because, industry. And then you also have Katie's dual boyfriends, or maybe she's dating one of them and the other one is just always there, who are the hockey players who are just stupid. That's their whole... They have one brain cell to share between the two of them.
I see.
The big kind of opening sequence of the season one is that Wayne's ex, Angie, had been cheating on him, and now she's hooked up with some dandy from the city, right? While he was dating her, and they dated for like 4 or 5 years, he swore off fighting. He used to be the toughest guy in Letterkenny, and he's not anymore because he hasn't been fighting. But now that they've broken up and everyone's giving him shit because, of course, his girlfriend is dating this dandy, he decides he has to take over his title as the toughest guy in Letterkenny again. And that's kind of the first arc of season one.
Okay.
It's brilliant. And relating it to a British television show, I would say it's the IT Crowd, but in Canadian farmland.
This sounds uncomfortably close to my childhood.
It might be. But funny.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know how comfortable I am with that.
I mean, give it a shot.
Right. If you don't like it after the first episode, by all means, do not make yourself struggle through the rest of it, because it's all really the same kind of emotional payoff. Every episode kind of feeling where you kind of get through that initial struggle where they're talking about something that might be a little bit awkward, and then you get a reprieve. So
is it a lot of just awkward shit?
No, not at all.
Because I hate just awkward.
I don't like
Meet the Parents Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers.
I don't find awkward
secondhand embarrassment is the worst thing to me. That's not funny. That's just
the malort of comedy.
Yeah. It's just, you're just squirming in your chair. I don't want to be here.
It is not like that.
Well, the good news is that there are awkward bits, of course, because awkward can be funny, but it goes so quickly that you're never actually...
If it's well done. Yeah,
yeah, and you're never actually uncomfortable with it.
Okay. Yeah.
More often you... and the other thing is that awkward bits are something that you can identify with in a way that is not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's like one of the guys, for example, is looking for a girlfriend, but he's not good at it. But this isn't in the, I'm going to walk up to this young lady and I'm going to do some really awkward pickup line and everyone's going to cringe in their seats. It's he's sitting at the bar and one of his guy's friends is trying to talk him up about it. And he's like, yeah, I'll go talk to her. But after a couple of beers, maybe. And then you're like, oh, yeah, sure. And that's kind of that feeling where it's just like, well, I got to drink a little bit to get that confidence. But then I never actually actionably do anything with it. And so you can kind of feel that it's awkward without feeling uncomfortable.
Well, I can watch Netflix from work now, so I'll probably watch this.
Except it's not on Netflix, it's on Hulu. Sorry, friends.
Then I will never watch this. Never
I'll
mind.
I'll see what I can figure out for you.
Don't. Seems like effort. I've got enough stuff on
Netflix. Not really.
I've got enough stuff on Netflix that I don't watch.
Well, if you get the opportunity.
And there are, of course, all of a number of, like, 3 to 5 minute clips that you can find on the internet elsewhere.
Yeah.
To get a taste of it, to see if, like, maybe I'll try that out someday.
The YouTubes.
The tube of you, if you will.
The me-tubes?
Yes.
Yes. Salsa tubes. It sounds so gross.
Salsa tubes?
I don't think I like that.
Do you remember cereal straws?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I feel like this is like that, but it's made out of like corn chips. And then on the inside, it's got that salsa kind of layer. And you have
like the salsitas?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're supposed to use it to drink tequila, right?
I just picture like ketchup packets for salsa.
I don't know if milk and salsa would go well together. Salsa, what do you think?
Milk and salsa?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I feel like milk, no. Sour cream, yes.
Oh, sour. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, okay. So you use the salsa straw to drink sour cream.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a problem at all. Seems totally fine.
No,
yeah.
Salsa straws...
It's like a biscotti, but it's
no, it's a single serving of salsa for the traveling.
Oh. It's like the little pouches of like applesauce, but in a straw.
It's like a ketchup
Yeah, like Go-Gurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Go-Gurt, but with salsa.
But salsa. See, I was thinking after a bit of conversation there that it would be like a biscotti, where it's like a tortilla chip. They already have a name for this. This is like a taquito. All right, never mind.
I want taquitos now.
Yeah, I want taquitos.
I've never eaten a taquito.
Well, you're missing out.
I have lived a very sheltered life. My mother, rest her soul. She's not dead. I just don't like to think about her. My mother means very well. She's not very good at it, but she does mean well. When I was growing up, she would serve us, I kid you not, just boiled chicken. Maybe with some salt, maybe with some pepper. She would just boil the chicken, serve it with, like, mashed potatoes.
Minnesota and, like, spicy.
No, I'm not from Minnesota.
Oh, like ketchup spicy? Yeah.
No ketchup. You don't put ketchup on boiled chicken kind of life.
Oh, seriously.
Gee.
But no, so
my
I asked...
mistake.
So this was... I grew up in Michigan, and then we moved to Texas when I was in high school, right? And so, of course, in Texas, they have, like, flavors and stuff. Who knew? So I had I was dating a young man when I was in high school, and his mother was a saint. And so I would go to her house, and she would be making dinner, and she would have like this super flavorful chicken with like barbecue sauce and everything like that. She would look at me and she would go, "And for you, I have just plain boiled chicken. There's a little bit of pepper on it. I hope that's okay." And I'm like, "Miss Stacy, you're great." So I asked my mother like last year, it's just like, "Hey, so my whole life, I've had to deal with the fact that I don't know anything about flavors or, like, adventurous foods because you would serve us things like boiled chicken. What was up with that?" And she said to me, "You know, I didn't know how to cook, and I didn't want you all to die. And I just boiled the hell out of it and hoped for the best."
I mean, that's...
legitimate.
Right, so I don't blame her
for
that.
That's reasonable.
This is an age before you could, like, YouTube that shit.
Right, you know, she had her own things to overcome, and she just boiled it to death, and that was her solution. I didn't die, so, I mean...
Still here.
So
nailed
far.
It. Right? I mean, we're all gonna... I heard that after the age of 25, your cells die faster than they regenerate, so I am actually at the stage where I'm dying faster than I'm living, so... Don't worry.
Sounds like you need to live faster.
Yeah, no, I can't.
The Malort's going to help with that.
Is it? Is it? That sounds fake, but I don't know enough about Malort.
Yeah, it gives you a little push forward when you're standing on the ledge of the building.
Because that is formaldehyde.
Oh, yeah.
That is
formaldehyde. See, you're talking about turpentine. You're talking about the wrong kill you chemicals.
This was my mistake.
This is pickling you.
It's embalming. Yep. Yeah.
Thinking of pickled salsa now. I feel like pickling brine.
He's right there.
Well,
I would put pickled jalapenos in salsa.
Right. I feel like the pickling brine would really help bring out the acidity of it. Yeah. That would make sense.
I mean, the acidity of the tomato is like seeping into that. I feel like that's the point.
I knew. I'm down with this. I knew a human once. We'll put a pin in that. We'll put a pin in the human comment. I knew a person once, right? A person I was at their house and they were making what they called sloppy joes. This was ground beef, barbecue sauce, and on one occasion, ghost pepper powder, which we're put a pin in that one too. Don't worry, we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
But so...
Oh, Salsa, I have ideas.
I have many ideas.
I am not part of the ideas.
Probably not the same idea I have. Guarantee it's
maybe. Not the pen.
Mine involves staple guns, so no, it is not the same idea you have.
I would like to disavow any results of my comments. I had nothing to do with it.
You know, I'm thinking, like, you've stapled things to yourself, and you've used mousetraps on your tongue, but have they been dipped in anything?
A
friend of mine actually broke a world record just recently.
Yeah?
He was stapling Carolina Reapers to his tongue.
That's amazing.
That sounds terrifying.
Stapled 12 Carolina Reapers to his tongue.
I don't want to do that at all.
No, I don't want to do that either.
That sounds terrible.
The thing is, I'm beginning to understand you more and more, because now that I've, licked a mousetrap, this shit is starting to make sense, and that's a dangerous roof to stand on. That's got a pitch to it.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story, folks, is that mousetraps are the real gateway drug.
So marinate on that a bit. Yeah.
No, the roof the roof slope increases over time.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
curved.
No, terrible. So I knew this human once who made their sloppy joes with just ground beef and barbecue sauce.
Sure.
And so before I moved to Minnesota, my only interaction with sloppy joes is ground beef and then the little packets that you buy at the store, right? Because my mother didn't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Minnesota.
I'm sorry. I know I'm pulling a face right now, and I apologize.
I thought that was just your face.
It is.
Excellent. So
keep pulling on it.
Then I moved to Minnesota, and I moved in with a family who I met on the internet who just let me move into their spare room, right?
Aww.
Yeah. So Minnesota's great. But so I moved into their spare room, and they make sloppy joes by kind of concocting a combination of barbecue sauce and ketchup, and then you season it until it's food, right? And it's delicious, right? I didn't know about that. So now I know, but it's great. So I was really confused by these people who are like, oh, it's sloppy joes, but it's just barbecue sauce and ground beef, which is a totally valid thing you can do, but that's not a sloppy joe per se.
Right.
So I made the suggestion, like, you know, maybe they don't know. I didn't know. I was just like, you know, you can cut through the sweetness of the barbecue sauce if you add ketchup to it, which kind of help balances out that the sweetness of the brown sugar that is in barbecue sauce, and you have the acidity of the tomatoes, and it balances it out.
Mm-hmm.
And this human looks at me dead in the face and says, no, I'm allergic to the acidity of tomatoes. Not to tomatoes, to the acidity of tomatoes. And of course, I'm making the face at that time that James is making now, which is somewhere between a, excuse me, what? And a, you gotta be kidding me.
I mean, far be it from me to judge somebody on their allergies.
But the thing is there's already tomatoes in that barbecue sauce. So,
depends on the barbecue sauce. I suppose it could be made from dates or something like that.
I suppose. It wasn't a fancy barbecue sauce, though. It was like...
probably tomato-based, but it's possible.
It is possible.
Probably ketchup and grape jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally. That's not, that tracks. But yeah, so...
barbecue sauce does not have to be tomato-based.
It doesn't have to be. Like, the full disclaimer, and I apologize if those humans happen to be listening. I'm not trying to drag you through the mud, but you kind of deserve it also. For different reasons.
All right. That's okay. Nobody listens.
That's okay.
tell me only in short words how you feel about your mother. There's a tortoise in the middle of a desert.
Anyway.
Go on.
No, but so, so I kind of puzzled over that for a while and decided that that just meant that the next time I came over, I brought my own ketchup with me. And so then I put my serving of Sloppy Joe's on a plate and then mix it in some ketchup and then put it on the bread. Because I'm not going to, like, suffer anyone else through what I guess is uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
But then there was the day with the ghost pepper powder, which was added without anyone saying anything at all. Right?
Oh, shit.
And, of course, I was raised on boiled chicken. So when something is spicy to me, I assume I am the problem. And that's also because I have a guilt-based personality, but we'll put a pin in that. this is, you're familiar with, like, the Charlie Day in, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia pin board? No?
I'm not.
You need to understand, update your memes, man.
I understand put a pin in it, but I gotta tell you that show is malort to me.
See, I've never seen it. Don't misunderstand me. But, like, this is the meme on the internet where he just looks crazy and he's got all of these, like, pins and yarn connecting things on the board. And he just looks like he's lost his marbles, if he ever had them.
Sure.
But so I'm eating this sloppy Joe mix, and it just feels really spicy. I'm assuming that I'm just a great big baby, because that's usually the case. And I'm just kind of suffering through it, because I'm not going to be rude. And then as I'm eating, I'm seeing other people also looking like they're suffering. And then finally, the mastermind of this whole scenario is just like, I think we overdid it with the ghost pepper powder. And I look him dead in the face. And I'm just like, you of all people know exactly how much of a baby's mouth I have. Why would you subject me to this? And it was a great time. I learned many things that day, including I should never eat food unless I know what's in it.
Yeah.
So,
Salsa, were you in on the Satan's Toe Challenge? I don't recall.
I was not.
Okay.
No.
What?
Okay.
That already had enough takers, and it was. And
yeah.
I was involved.
We had nine.
We had to spread the challenges around.
We had
lot.
Nine. Satan's Toe is a sucker that is 9 million Scoville units. Carolina Reaper is 2-something? 3-something?
Yeah, something like that.
It's, yeah. Death incarnate, effectively? Yeah. The challenge with this is to keep it in your mouth for 5 minutes.
Okay.
That is 5 extremely sad minutes.
Yeah.
Malort is still worse. But that is 5 extremely sad minutes.
Carolina Reaper is 1.4 to 2.2 million.
Okay, so this is like 6 times hotter than that.
I'm not a fan.
Loose math.
I think
ballpark
I would lose.
Ballpark math. Yeah.
I think I would lose.
We had people, we had atheists who were humming hymns that they were pretty sure that they'd heard as children. Like, it was bad. There's video.
Yeah, when you revert to
video.
The idea of your childhood, you know, sometimes that can be indicative of something.
It was a sad day.
Even the smell would make your eyes water. It was potent.
Yeah. This was a terrible afternoon. Mm-hmm. So there's that. The thing that I wanted to tell you about is have you ever this is a weird recipe, and I don't know if people are aware of this, cowboy stew.
I mean, I've had something called cowboy stew, but what are you...
What is right, cowboy stew for you?
It's stew with, like, corn and chunks of meat and, you know, stuff like that. Like,
okay.
A very savory stew.
It is. Jake?
No, but my father, who was from Michigan, made something he would call hobo stew.
Okay.
Which was ground beef and a number of vegetables, usually from cans.
That sounds amazing.
It is. It's delicious. Yes.
No, this we, as a LAN party, would often make. We would make an emergency trip to Cub Foods and then scatter like roaches when the lights came on.
Naturally.
And... I would delegate different jobs to everybody. You know, you go get 2 number 10 cans of beans, which are the kind you find in, like, a bomb shelter. You know, they're roughly the size of a, you know, like, big enough to have a volleyball in them of Bush's baked beans.
The gallon tins, yeah.
Right. There's that. There's a gallon of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. There are 2 horse cocks, the kielbasas, the ring sausage. 2 pounds of bacon and 2 pounds of ground beef, and you put it into a stew pot cut into bite-sized pieces, all of it, and you let it simmer.
That sounds really, really good and scalable.
I don't know how to scale it down from that.
Math?
I mean, I assume.
I feel like less that it's scalable and more that it's something that you could portion out and freeze.
We do. We portion it out, and usually we just put it into the plastic Chinese takeaway boxes and then eat it over a process of days, cold and hot, with potato chips instead of spoons.
Incredibly savory and incredibly delicious.
It's fucking awesome. I forgot the final ingredient is you send one person to go get a 12 pack of toilet paper.
Naturally. That tracks.
The softest kind.
For napkins?
Sure. Yes.
Sure? Yeah. No, I sent my friend Aaron to do that, and he was like, ha, 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 yeah, and I was like,
No, this is serious.
I'm not wearing my kidding around face. I'm wearing my go get fucking toilet paper face. So go get fucking toilet paper. Now, please. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Your description of the ring kielbasa as horsecock is delightful.
Is it?
It is in a very passing sort of way. Like, I would not use that ever again in mixed company. But it reminds me, in Texas, ring bologna is something that we, I think, have in Minnesota, right? Just bologna, mm-hmm. but in the shape of kielbasa.
Sure.
They don't have that in Texas. And this is the bane of my dad's existence.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loves ring bologna.
It is amazing.
It is. The problem is they don't have it in Texas. And he was on a mission to find it. And so he started calling the people who would supply ring bologna to different chain stores. And they did not even... He was just like, anywhere in Texas. And Texas is a big state.
I've heard that right? About Texas.
It's pretty large. And so he was willing to go any distance in Texas and possibly into Louisiana if need be to find ring bologna. And they said, no, we do not supply it to anywhere in the South. And we're unwilling to ship it to you directly. And he's just like, I'll buy a whole case of it.
Fuck.
And they would not. He came to visit in Minnesota last year. And this isn't as bad as it could have been. But he bought not quite an obscene amount, but just short. Like, you wouldn't talk about it at church, but you might talk about it at the bar. And then left it in my freezer. And then we drove to Michigan, and then he didn't ever take it back.
Whoops.
Which is a problem, because I don't eat ring bologna. And so then I had to portion it out during last Renaissance Festival season.
Sure.
Because...
As one does.
Festies will eat almost anything.
Yes, we fucking will.
Especially at the end of the day down in the campground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very much yes.
If it looks like food and it tastes almost like food, that'll count.
Friend of the podcast, Captain America, speaking of campground food and beans and things, makes an outstanding chili, by the way. And I didn't realize that I was missing it until just now. And the next time I am going to fly through Seattle, as I did before, I think I need to give them like 2 days notice and I want to say like $20 to $50 and see if they'll make a pot of chili.
Cool. Yeah.
That seems feasible. Fuck.
But yeah, cowboy stew.
I'm really hungry now.
Feeds your land party. And then
give us that recipe again.
Turns your bathroom inside out.
So the listeners can...
Sure. Sure. 2 pounds of bacon. Cut into small pieces. 2 pounds of ground beef. 2 ring sausages. And we choose kielbasa for a little bit of spice, but you can use ring bologna. You can use, I guess, the cheesy kind if you want. But kielbasa.
Mm-hmm. 2 pounds of bacon, or you said 5 pounds of bacon, didn't you, the first time around?
I said 2.
I could have sworn you said 5.
Well, you know...
Numbers are fake.
Yeah.
All right.
And then 2 number 10 cans of Bush's baked beans and the largest possible container of Sweet Baby Ray's. Brown the hamburger lightly and crisp the bacon ever so slightly. Before dumping it into the stew pot.
Sounds amazing.
It fucking is.
And sounds really simple.
Use ripple chips to scoop it.
Do you drain off the fat that has rendered from the bacon?
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
I would,
oh, God, no.
I would, instead of ripple chips, I would say use...
kettle chips?
No, corn chips. What are those? What are those called?
Fritos?
Yes. The Fritos are the best.
They're good, but I'll tell you that the texture of a ripple chip, an old Dutch
ripple chip. Here's the dip that I bring to parties.
All right.
This is my Super Bowl dip. All right. It's a pound of ground beef.
Okay.
Big, one of the bigger cans of Bush's baked beans, the onion ones.
Sure.
Right. So you've got ground beef and you got beans, and then you put in cayenne pepper.
Okay.
And onion powder and garlic powder and about a half cup of brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mix that all together and you serve with corn chips. Because that right there is amazing.
Okay.
But you need that the corn chip flavor to really bring it together.
Try it with just salted potato chips first.
That sounds gross.
Potato
chips are disgusting.
Okay. Salsa doesn't know what's good.
That's okay. For a quick shortcut on that, I believe it's Walmart, you can actually just buy, like, bags of chopped up pieces of bacon, which are, like, the ends and the bits.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes it really fast and really easy.
It does.
I do have a question for you folks who are from Minnesota. From Minnesota?
Yeah.
No.
No? All right, cool. Mixed crowd. Better.
I'm from Minnesota.
That's okay. I have the family who hosted me when I first moved to Minnesota. They make something they call vaguely Hispanic rice, which is... Because it's a take on Spanish rice, but it's lazy, and no one in their household is Spanish, so it works. So it's vaguely Hispanic in that they make it with, you know, rice, salsa. They'll chop up, like, poblano peppers and chilies and things like that to kind of help add to that spice, and then just a metric ton of bacon pieces. And then they'll kind of bake that all together, and it all comes together really nicely. And it's delicious, and I like it a whole lot. Their children eat it with bread and peanut butter.
I can see that.
Can you? I don't understand it.
I was one of the first people to put peanut butter onto a meat sandwich or onto a burger, and my sister looked at me the way that she always looked at me, like I'm a repulsive human being.
But that's her right.
But here's the thing about putting peanut butter on things, is a lot of people go, it's peanut butter, and what you're not thinking about is the fact that it's a peanut sauce. And
it
if
is.
You call it a peanut sauce, then nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
But if you call it peanut butter, now they're like, oh, that goes with jelly on a sandwich.
See,
because nobody has any idea what to do with peanut butter besides put it with jelly on a sandwich.
Sure. I guess my issue is I don't really much care for peanut butter.
That's fine.
And so that's why it always throws me off. It was never any like peer pressure that I should eat it with peanut butter bread. But it was always surprising to me when they would come back and say, Mama, can I have another slice of peanut butter bread? And of course...
Oh, man.
Yeah?
I'm imagining Spanish rice on peanut butter...
I would absolutely try that.
It's delicious, I'm told.
By the way, if you're making a burger at home, absolutely spread peanut butter on the bun.
Crack an egg on it.
Peanut butter honestly, and egg?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Always put an egg on it.
I've never had an egg on a burger. I lived a very sheltered life.
Okay, put an egg on a burger.
Boiled chicken, guys.
next time we're at
Fry an egg, put it on a burger.
Are you just going to sneak an egg into the blit?
Imagine if you will.
I believe there is a way to get an egg onto a burger at the Blit.
Imagine if you will.
I will fucking do that for you.
Okay.
Because it will change your life.
Imagine if you will a bacon egg and cheese bacon egg and cheese McDonald's sandwich.
Okay.
And then just put like a burger patty in there.
Yeah. Instead of sausage, a burger patty.
It's burger.
I guess.
Well,
it's amazing.
Okay, so I have the ingredients right now, and I'm one of the things that I like to do with my partner is that she and I cook together, it warms my heart and fills my stomach, and I like it. It's a good exercise. So I have procured with her during one of our shopping trips the ingredients for Loco Moco. Loco Moco is rice or a rice alternative, in this case, rice cauliflower, with a burger patty or Salisbury steak patty, smothered in gravy, with an egg. You crack a raw egg and the heat of the patty cooks it into the patty and the rice, and then you put hot sauce on it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that sounds delicious to me, but somehow it doesn't. Somehow I am less skeptical of that than a cheeseburger with an egg on it, and I don't know why.
It is essentially
cheeseburger with egg is
really close to a cheeseburger
with egg. You will see the face of God.
Which one?
Cheeseburger with egg.
Excellent.
I'm going to say like the poker face of God.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but anyway.
I don't either.
It's interpretive.
Yeah. So, 5-8 Club, just down the road, which is one of the claimants to inventing the Juicy Lucy.
It's on the way to chess.
Oh, boy.
Has a variant where instead of cheese inside the burger, they have peanut butter and jelly inside the burger.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
Yeah. That sounds mind-altering.
Absolutely incredible. Because, again, it's basically grape jelly is what you make a lot of barbecue sauces out of, basically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, you like your mini hot dog hors d'oeuvres are usually in grape jelly. And mm-hmm. peanut butter is just like a peanut sauce.
Yeah.
And so you get like this sweetness from the jelly and you get this nuttiness from the peanut butter, and that mixes with the savory of mm-hmm. the burger. Mm-hmm. And it just is so good.
I will sometimes, when I was working for the company where we first became acquainted, I would sometimes make ramen there and then put like a big heaping tablespoon of peanut butter
in with it. I do the same.
And then pepper flakes. Mm-hmm. And just make like a peanut sauce, noodles,
yep.
and vegetables. I would microwave broccoli
mm-hmm.
and really good. Just like fuck it right up.
That's Americans only know how to do one thing with peanut butter, and that's put it with jelly between pieces of bread.
It's such a shame.
And you can do so much.
Yeah.
See, I think you're onto something with the peanut butter as a peanut sauce thing, because I'm hearing ramen and peanut butter, and I'm like, oh, that mm-hmm. makes sense, because a lot of Asian dishes use peanut mm-hmm. sauces.
Sure,
and
exactly.
So I am addressing my own internal bias here about mm-hmm. peanut butter, and I suppose I'll have to go and deal with that eventually. Problem for future me. I leave a lot of uh-huh. things for future me. It's not a healthy relationship.
The next time you're at the performance space, Honey,
yes.
If you have not tried it, they have satay from upstairs at Ginger Hop, which is the best satay I've had in my life.
See, I don't know what satay is.
And it's a sauce. It's the accompanying sauce.
Okay.
And they have a couple of different kinds of satay.
Mm-hmm.
They have a beef satay that comes with a peanut sauce, and it's real good. It's fucking very good. So, mm-hmm. yeah. If
good
you have
to know.
A fear of beef mm-hmm. and peanut together for any reason, I suggest it.
But yeah, it's... If you can kind of think of it as making, like, a peanut sauce or a peanut
yeah.
curry...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe... Oh, curry.
Like if you think of it... instead of thinking of it as peanut butter and thinking of it as yeah. peanut curry, and then saying, I'm going to put some of that on a burger... It does make a lot more sense.
I'm going to have to hit up a late night restaurant after yeah. this.
Bite Squad.
We're suddenly talking about food.
Right.
Fuck. All right.
And we still haven't even talked about what the yeah. fuck we've been doing.
Oh, well, right.
Let's,
what's going on,
let's
man?
Take a break and then let's do that.
I mean, I'm cool with it, but. All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jake.
Yay! Okay. So where did we leave off?
We were going to have Jake first talk about their experience tonight. Doing
yes.
Lab, and then talk about what they will be up to at Die Laughing.
Yeah.
What? Die Laughing? What's that?
Die Laughing. What is
that? It's a 50-hour comedy marathon
That's
put on
crazy.
By Fearless Comedy Productions.
When cool. does that happen?
It happens the last weekend of March, the 29th through the 31st.
Sounds dumb. Let's talk about Lab.
Awesome. So... I've never been to Lab in my whole life before until tonight, but my story starts many years ago. No, it starts last year, leading up to the 2018 championship match of Human Combat Chess, which we'll circle back to later.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is I was a guest on another podcast called The High Five Guys, where mm-hmm. we talked about Human Combat Chess.
Curse the French.
Eric Thompson.
All right. Yeah. So
there are mortal enemies. Yes,
oh,
we love
I
them,
see.
But there are
we,
mortal
we
enemies.
We too have a nemesis.
I see. Yeah. So naturally, so while I was on that dreaded other podcast, you know,
there
High
you
Five
go.
Guys, terrible people. One
you,
of the
you
things
were inflicted,
that
but
I was no actually much,
kidnapped,
much like in the way that I was kidnapped for this podcast. Not that this was kidnapping; it was just you know blackmail. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I was there, and I was telling a story about how my former upstairs neighbors tried to break into my apartment because they thought it was their apartment. It's a long story. It's a long story. But so I was in the middle of that story, and Kayla, who's one of the hosts of the High Five Guys, just kind of looked at me with her hand or her chin in her hands, and she says, "Please do stand up." And I say, "That would be great. I don't know anything about how to do stand up or where that happens." Right, that was the mistake I made, because then we launched right into,
we know things.
Yeah, so then I get launched right into talking about Fearless Lab and Fearless Comedy Productions and all that fun stuff.
Kayla, who is now the regular host of Fearless Lab.
But not tonight, which was fine. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was great, actually.
Was it fine?
It was Nancy Megastad.
Yeah, Nancy was great. I really enjoyed her. She was super great.
She was lovely.
Yeah. But so, you know, I got told about Fearless Lab, and I was just like, oh, maybe I'll do that someday. We are fast-forwarded now to March.
telling Kayla maybe I'll do lab means she's already signed you up.
No, but see, I only...
Oh, whoa,
no,
yeah.
But see, the trick there was I actually only told... Eric. I told Eric that
I'd
find
that's
him. No, but then he could never find me again. Except for every Saturday when I was at the Renaissance Festival Academy. Meaningless. but then it was fest season, so it was fine.
It's fine.
But it was fine. So then last week, Kayla posts on her Facebook that she needs like a couple of performers to perform at Lab this week. And one of the resolutions I made for this year was that I was going to be chaotically creative at least once a month. So I was just like, oh, I can do Lab now. I have this opportunity. It's right in my face. What response have I other than to say yes? So then I said I would do that. And
that's
then
how they get you.
Right. Well, then I spent the whole rest of the week having an existential crisis because am I funny? We just don't know. Survey says, thank you, James. Which actually turns out I am funny. Yes. so everything is fine.
It's fine.
But so that was really great. So I messaged Kayla last night to ask, you know, hey, what time am I actually supposed to be there? Who do I talk to? How long should I expect to have to talk? And she says, yeah, so probably about 10 minutes, more than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually want to be there around 7. Also, I won't be there. And I was just like, oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't expect to know anybody there. So I'm really glad James was there because I showed up and started asking that poor bartender where Nancy was, and he didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Good sport, but didn't know anything. So then I see James.
No, Alex
and I'm like,
is a great bartender.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's not his job.
Nope.
Exactly.
So then I see James, and James had answers, and it was great.
Yay, James.
Yeah. So then I asked James if he knows what I'm supposed to be doing. He's like, yes, but also, do you have plans after Lab? And I say, no. And he says, cool, do you want to be on a podcast? And I say, sure. He's like, great. And I say, what is it about? He says, well, it's much ado about nothing.
Apropos of nothing.
Apropos of nothing. See?
Same deal, though.
Concept, right? Yeah. My problem is I've been in Shakespearean hell for the last 3 months.
Fair.
Pin in that. we're going to be talking about, you know, upcoming comedy productions. And I said, oh, that's cool. I'm going to be involved in one of those. And he just says, we know.
Yes.
And that wasn't scary at all. And then I followed up. I was the second act in line. And it was really great because everyone was super nice because Nancy made sure that everyone knew it was my first time. Also, I told the audience that if anything went wrong, it was their fault. So, you know, everybody was a real good sport about
that.
That
was a great preamble, by the way.
I did. I'm just like, we're gonna do, you know, a very classic therapy technique, which is role reversal. If you've never done therapy before, don't worry. I've done plenty. See, this is just really good for my ego.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, if anything goes wrong, it's the audience's fault because it's their first time. So it was fine.
Right.
And everything was great. Told a great story about my dog, and now we can never let my dog know that people like her, is the takeaway of this.
Fuck, that was so funny.
Good. I'm so glad you think so.
I loved the callback to it, too. That was... I don't know if that was intentional or accidental, but it was absolutely perfect.
No, see, that was the thing, is I had to plan as very little as possible because I get too caught up in the details because I have a brain thing.
Mm.
And so I had to plan as very little as possible and then just kind of wing it, which was going to go one of two ways. Either I was going to die or I was going to kill it.
So you accidentally killed it.
Yeah, which is great. I'm so excited.
One of the things that I regularly tell people about Lab is that it is one of the friendliest, most willing to laugh audiences that you can encounter when you are trying something out. Because they want you to succeed. They are there to laugh. When you go to, you know, a bar, a lot of people are like, oh, you think you're a comedian? Fucking prove it. But we are there, many of us having tried this ourselves, we want you to succeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and I kind of knew that going in, which is why I played up the fact that it's just like, hey, so you guys have done this a couple of times, maybe. I have never done this, so we're just gonna pretend like that's the opposite. And it worked out so well. You guys did such a good job as an audience. I'm super proud of you. Yeah. But yeah, I told a story that involves...
Yeah, they were worried. Yeah.
I have anxiety. It's fine. But I told a story that involves, you know, exercise equipment, dogs, and full frontal nudity. And I figured I would hit mm-hmm. all of the optimal, like, high points of the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's going to have something to say about at least one of these things. So it's fine. It worked out great. Yeah, and it was super great. And I knew a couple of people in the audience, which I was... debating on if that was going to be a good thing or not. Because on the one hand, yay, people who already probably like me, maybe. Or at least tell me they like me mm-hmm. to my face. on the other hand, if I do a really bad job, they're going to remember that. The good news is I didn't do the worst job. And also, they were really nice to me. But the other thing is I don't know if this is because I'm short or if it's just the way of the stage, but I could not see a single face.
No, you
I could see the
really
hazy
can't.
Outline of where
yeah.
some
yeah,
people,
people
were.
Yeah, people are drowned out by the lights.
Which was great because my other yeah. thing is just like, you know, I don't want to like stare at the ceiling and I don't want to stare at the
no.
floor. So I'm going to stare in the general direction of I know there's at least one body right there. And that worked because then mm-hmm. I didn't have to make eye contact because that's weird. So it was great. Eye contact is weird. I don't like it.
It is.
But it worked out great. So, and it was really cool. And I definitely enjoyed kind of the general atmosphere of not only like we want you guys to succeed and we want you to have a good time, but also forgiveness for understanding. Like, there was another, actor that followed me that were trying some new material and, kind of in the middle of it, it kind of petered out for a second because you know how sometimes English is hard. And mm-hmm. you just forget how words work.
Yeah.
That can be really tricky. And to be trying something that's really, really new in front of a group, even when you kind of already know the group, that can be kind of disheartening. And what I was really excited about is when that moment happened, everyone in that crowd reacted by applauding them for even trying.
Yeah.
And then when they continued on from that point, it was a lot stronger and they felt, you could tell that there was that moment of relief. It was just like, okay, this is fine. And that, I think, mm-hmm. really speaks to the kind of energy and the kind of like welcoming that you can expect from Fearless Productions in general, but especially in Fearless Lab.
That's kind of our ethos.
Yeah, that's been my experience so far on account of I just keep ending up places.
so. Sure. Yeah.
Which is my master plan.
Yeah.
I figure, like, someday I might have to, like, officially say, hey, I want to do this thing, but also, if I just keep showing up, mm-hmm. maybe no one will notice that I haven't actually had that conversation.
I want to say it was, like, 4 years ago when I thought that I was going to try that and came on this podcast for the first time.
Yeah. We have a tendency to Shanghai people into having a good time.
I don't know what you could possibly mean by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of my move.
So... that happened. Yeah.
I Shanghai'd James into Fearless.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, I like doing podcasts and improv. And you were like, I fucking know a guy.
The thing is it wasn't like, hey, you should come out. It was like, come here. We're doing this.
Yeah, and some people are like, it's downhill from there. Like, as if to say that it gets... it diminishes in quality somehow, but it was downhill from there in the way where, like, you start running downhill and then you can't fucking stop.
Yep.
And you're worried that if you try to slow down or turn or something,
that's
that
you're
just
going to
trip
yep.
and fall. And yeah, you just end up, it's okay. It's fine.
I was in a self-defense class at my college. This is related. this follows. It does.
We're not going to talk about what we did there. Nope, not at all. All
right.
I'm okay with that.
We're just going to buzz
good.
Right past that.
Yeah.
And we were doing circuits one day where we were running around outside and meeting instructors in one position, one spot on the hill or whatever, and doing like elbows or doing knees or whatever,
mm-hmm.
different kinds of strikes. So the problem was is that I was running down the hill to where you were supposed to do knee strikes. Yep, exactly. So you're supposed to do knee strikes to a big body pad.
Right.
Listeners at home, I am a very small human being. I am 5'3", and I am 110 pounds on a good day. I was running down the hill to meet our teaching assistant who is now leading this class. His name is Jade. He is large, and he is imposing, and he is very, very nice. But he's big, and he has this body pad. And so I am running full tilt down this hill. And in a moment of sheer brilliance from the both of us, I do not slow down. And Jade, seeing me approaching, steps into the impact. And so I go completely flying in the most cartoonish, comedic fashion possible, and I concuss myself on the ground.
Well, so, if you got to do it.
So when I was much younger, This is probably 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my family in the Badlands of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know the terrain in the Badlands. You've got kind of the
I don't.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, the terrain in the Badlands is
bad, I've heard.
Right. It's kind of the look at a picture of it. It's kind of got the like bluffs.
Sure.
You know, like the little plateaus.
Sort of like Monument Valley.
Kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But it's got the mounds of dirt basically that just stick up.
Hill country, one might say.
But it's not like...
Now we
it's
know
not
why
like
salsa's in IT and not marketing. All right.
I don't know the words for
sure.
Land things.
Formations?
But they stick up.
Yeah.
All right?
Mesas.
So we were climbing up on... No, but they're smaller than mesas. Mesas
okay. Are sub-mesas.
Sub-mesas, yes. But so take a look at the fucking picture of Badlands. Google it.
Google
we
it.
Have technology. Anyway, we had climbed up on top of one of these. Like, I'm less than 10 years old at this point.
All right.
We climbed up on top of one of these, and we were coming back down. And you just start to build up steam. And then more steam. And then and more steam. And at that age, you think that, oh, when I get to the bottom... I'm going to, you know, reach the bottom and I will divert my momentum.
No.
No.
On a more...
You were not going to win the physics game?
No. It doesn't work that way. You don't just, like, angle your momentum now toward, in, you know, perpendicular to...
Sure.
...to the ground because now the ground is a different plane. It's, you continue on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm building up a head of steam down this quite steep hill and I get to the bottom and bam, just... Face plant.
You just collapse,
right down to the dirt.
Right? Yeah.
However,
an object in motion tends to remain.
However,
in motion. Oh
no, this is the Badlands.
Oh.
I landed on a cactus.
I wondered if that might
oh,
be
no.
what you were. And after that, he couldn't see red and green
on my happy parts.
Oh no!
Fuck.
I landed
oh, honey, no.
on a cactus. Square to the crotch.
Oh, buddy.
And I have memories of sitting in
I'll
the car,
bet.
Driving down the road, as we are pulling cactus needles out of my crotch.
Oh.
That's what happened to me.
My downhill experiences are very different.
Yeah.
Than that.
Maybe that's where I started on my impalement.
Huh.
You know,
that's weird.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No,
you know, Freud would definitely have something to say about the juxtaposition about the happy place and then your mouth. So, I mean, there's something you're not on the. I wouldn't say you're on the right track because most people don't believe in Freud in these days, and they shouldn't. But there is some establishment of that concept.
I actually heard Freud was just a cigar that wore clothing.
That tracks.
Yeah,
I dreamed that once.
Yeah, I was. I was in a frat house. I was leaving. It was late at night, and the house was dark. And
ooh,
one of the occupants
good.
Of the house was Nigel, who is the dumbest cat that has ever lived. And God bless him. I love Nigel.
Now, when you say cat, do you mean like actual cat, or you mean like
cat?
He was a crazy cat. Like
no,
not the beaten.
No, like a feline.
Okay.
No, like feline. So Nigel's favorite place to sit in the dark.
Oh, no.
Is the middle of a staircase.
Naturally.
Because...
Of course, yeah.
Fucking Nigel would forget that his ass existed and would fall off the back of a couch, and then the only cat I've ever seen not land on their feet was Nigel, and he would look around like one of us shoved him. Like, he had the most piteous expression.
Betrayed.
He would sit in the middle of the stairs in the dark, and, of course, everybody who had been there many times just knew... To, like,
evade.
Once you get to the center of the stairs, you just kind of, like, give it a little...
Poke at it.
A little tap. Yeah. A little tap, tap, tap-a-roo. Nope. I did not know. So I stepped down, and I felt something give, and I was like, oh, that's a living thing. Like, there's a weird moment where you know exactly. So instead of putting my weight on that foot, I did that thing that you know people do to their friends when they're little, where they like pretend to step on them
mm-hmm.
On their chests and bellies and stuff like that, and you like hop over.
Yes.
I did that without planning it and on a staircase and had half the staircase to go.
Yeah.
And just ran into the door down at the bottom and just laughed and woke the house up. And they were like, what the fuck is going on? And it was like, I just came down the stairs in the dark, and they went, Nigel, fuck. yeah, that guy.
Solid guy.
Frat house. I'm sorry. Yeah, downhill. That was the day, because at that point, I was then accelerating forward, not even in a controlled way, nowhere near the railing. And, just you keep your feet under you, and at that point it's just a memory of where the stairs probably are.
Mm-hmm.
You just stick your foot out.
It's a skateboarder move.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was real shitty. It didn't feel good.
Probably would have worked better if you were going up the stairs.
Yeah.
But alas.
But Nigel was fine. Yeah, we turned on the lights, and Nigel was like...
Something happened?
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Turned on the light.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? Yeah.
I've done that before. We had cats at the last place.
Yeah.
I mean, I have cats now, but last place we lived when we
but
had
I
roommates.
Used to, too.
But these cats aren't allowed on the stairs. The door closes before they get to the stairs. But we had roommates, and we had four cats, and
sometimes I've doors were that, fake.
Done that where I'm coming down the stairs, and suddenly it's like, there's a thing there. That's not fun.
Yeah. Fuck.
I was just sitting in Salsa's living room and saw one cat under a chair, I thought. But there were definitely too many legs. And so I decided that there were at least two cats, but could not decide if there were perhaps more than two cats
just
under
the
chair. Okay.
Just the two.
Unless
you saw Octocat.
Which is entirely a possibility. But, you know, it's been a day, so who's to say?
Like a squid kitten.
Squitten?
Octopussy.
Yeah.
A squitten, yeah.
Somebody drew a picture of a squid kitten for me. It's real cute.
Oh, no.
So, this was your experience with the lab.
Yes.
that's what you did.
That's what I did.
Tell us about this thing that you are then launching into for Die Laughing.
Yeah, so I sure would like to know what I was launching into for Die Laughing.
You don't know?
Funny story. So the problem, fucking
buckle up again.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, the bane of my existence at this exact moment is a gentleman called Tim Wick. The bane of my existence.
I mean, join the club.
Yeah, that's every time I've said
Did
this.
Did he rear end you two?
No.
Oh, okay.
No?
Oh, he's just on a rampage.
Oh, I see. Yep. No. No physical altercations as yet. On the other hand...
Has he just been slow in getting you information that you desperately want?
I mean, there is
I have
also
gotten
that.
Zero information.
Uh-huh.
He still has my application for a show.
Yeah, no. So he posts...
I pitched before I joined Fearless.
Should probably remind him about that.
I will.
Tim has a lot of irons in the fire, and sometimes forgets that
he's got more iron than fire.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
right.
He's in the lump of metal. He sometimes forgets that there is an individual iron there. Anyway, you were saying?
Yeah, no. So he posts on Facebook because I have Tim on Facebook because I joined the cast of the Renaissance Festival last year, which we'll see how that turns out. But so now, of course, in the off season, I had like 1,000 people add me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I've mostly weeded out the people that I have never met in my whole life.
Sure.
But I've definitely seen Tim and like have interacted with him at least once. So I kept him. And also I know he does things, so I kept him around just in case. And so he posts on Facebook that he needs performers for,
pardon me.
Excellent. Sequences that he's doing for Die Laughing, which is coming up. And I knew about Die Laughing from last year because Jenna, who is no longer with us, or who's not with us at this time.
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. It's a running joke
on this podcast. It's fine.
If someone's not here, may they rest in peace is appropriate.
Oh, excellent.
We're all good.
Cool. pat myself on the back.
You inadvertently
I've
said
I've never
the exact
seen somebody
right thing.
Yeah, accidentally walk into that joke so hard.
Listen, I get to know seven things at any given time. It is a rotating seven.
That's delightful.
But I guess that's one of them today.
That's delightful. Anyway.
So I had heard about Die Laughing last year because last year Jenna King of the Phoenix was, of course, King of the Phoenix during Human Combat
sure.
Fest. And so she at some point was referencing that she was working, getting ready to start Die Laughing, or Die Laughing was coming up. So I kind of knew what the idea was.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tim is saying that he's got three acts that he's doing in Die Laughing, and he needs people to help perform in one or more of these things.
Yeah.
And so one of these, is, comedy fights, and fights is in all caps.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the way he describes this is, it's an improv kind of bit. And he said it was somewhere between a jazz off and a hockey off. Right, exactly.
So what Comedy Fight is bracket style comedy improv. And every pair that is going head to head are given a topic and they have to be funny.
Well, I've never been funny in my life. What will I do?
Fail?
I'll just go big or go home, I suppose. But see, I was just...
It's not like we're going to execute anyone. If you're not funny, then you don't go on to the next round.
No.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's not a fast five.
Right. So, but you know, I'm like, okay, well, a jazz off, like any, like noun off, I'm just like, okay, it's a competition kind of setup. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that seems reasonable. That's fine. And Tim is just like, you know, he's wanting to diversify his performer groups. He's just like, you know, I want to see more like women and non-binary folks come in. And I'm like, oh, me, a non-binary? Who knew? So it's just like, oh, I'll do that, which was great. And then he's just like, great, send me your email. And so I did, and I've heard nothing since. I did, on the other hand, volunteer to help someone transport their musical equipment to the location.
Sure.
I've heard nothing else about that, but... that's not just on Tim.
Yeah, don't take that personally. There is
so
much shit happening for Die Laughing.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's like, I have been here for 5 minutes, and so maybe I don't need to be I'm not at the top of anybody's list, and I'm not taking that personally. Also, I'm very small. I'm easy to forget. It's true. I'm sneaky. It's fine. I use this to my advantage.
Perhaps you are underrating the sneakiness.
No, it's just, I have... Every free minute I have has been working on Die Laughing, and I am so far behind.
Well, yeah. Well, and Tim had tagged two different...
Tim does more shit than I do.
Well, there's one of the bits is a May the Farce Be With You. I don't know what that has anything to do with. The other one is a lip syncing.
No, it's a different thing.
Right. There's a lot of things. There's so many things that happen in Die Laughing. It's something for everyone. But there's one that's like a lip syncing competition.
Yeah, epic lip sync battle. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So he was like referencing two different people whom to see if either of them might be interested in dealing with the audio musical aspect of that. And one of them was just like, yeah, I could probably do that. I would just need help getting my equipment there. And they were kind of talking about the logistics of that. And I'm sitting there kind of watching this happen because it's in the same thread where I've just been like, do you need information from me? Do I need to do anything? And then it occurs to me that I have a mid-sized SUV that would probably be useful for transporting things. And I have no commitments whatsoever outside of, like, being a human being at this time.
Oh,
so
it's
just like... So then I was just like, hey, would my car be big enough to transport things? Because I'm going to be there the day before this event is happening. So would that be convenient at all? this person, like, said they live in, like, Fridley, which I believe is... just slightly north of where I live, because I live in northeast Minneapolis. So, I live in north Minneapolis. So it's just like, hey, I kind of know where this is, and I have a large-ish car. Would that be convenient? And so that may be convenient, which is how I've arrived at my conclusion where if I just keep showing up places, no one will notice that I haven't actually committed to doing anything. It's the trick. But yeah, so it's just like, yeah, keep me posted on the information. He got my email address for Comedy Fight, and then I've heard nothing. But I did see, however, that he posted the event link on Facebook, you know, because we want to invite people to specific bits, but also Die Laughing as a whole. Mm-hmm. And there I see the information says a hockey off or a joust off. Mm-hmm. And now I have different questions, which includes, if you guys have been in school or out of school for a while, do you remember the, like, little scooters that you would sit upon in, like, gym class?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was sitting here and I was lamenting, I don't understand what a joust-off is. And a friend of mine confidently asserted, like, they're not going to make you joust on stage. But really now, I want the little, like, sit-upon scooters and, like, a broomstick, and I do want to joust. So if Tim doesn't do it that way, I will be sorely disappointed.
Sounds like the idiot's joust that they put on at the jousting track near the fencing booth.
Yeah, the joust yes. joust-off is probably going to be a jousting hawking-off.
Ooh, excellent. Yeah, I've spent so many years hawking at that.
Well, there you go.
That's probably what that is.
Yeah.
If I can just be loud and raucous, I'm going to have the best time.
I asked Tim if I needed anything prepared mm-hmm. for Comedy Fight, and he said, the less you have prepared, the better. So
excellent. I never prepare for anything.
One of the first... So, Vilification Tennis
yes.
used to be only at the Renaissance Festival,
mm-hmm.
and it was basically what you see. You know, it was
three rounds.
It was scripted improv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it was you. All of your jokes were written in advance. The order that you told them and the volleys and everything was mm-hmm. was loose. But your jokes, you had your jokes. They mm-hmm. were written in mm-hmm. advance. When we made the migration to the Bryant Lake Bowl,
mm-hmm.
that's when we went. We can do different things. Mm-hmm. We can try new things. We can do things like improv.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the first improv that I did was for a Vilification Tennis show where the theme was the Renaissance Festival. And we had to do a joust hawking competition, ooh. Basically. That's and exciting. The whole joke was Matt and I were the hawkers for the joust. And Eric Knight... or Pedantic Eric and Chris Vanderkamp were the jousters.
Mm-hmm.
And so Matt and I proceeded to... And it was great, because are you familiar with the layout of the Bryant Lake Bowl?
No.
Bryant Lake Bowl is shaped like an L.
Okay.
Okay, the audience area is shaped like an L.
Mm-hmm.
So on the... if you're on stage and you're looking out at the audience, on the left side... You have the people sitting on the ground mm-hmm. and all of the risers
okay.
up yeah, to the side.
The long part of the L goes along stage left.
Right.
If
you're standing and you know standing on the stage and you look to the right side of the audience, it's just the people sitting on the floor.
Sure.
Because behind that is like the box office and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it was a fucking great joke because. We come out, we're like, you know, we're going to do this thing. Matt and I are the heralds and mm-hmm. we're going to talk up our jouster. And Matt starts in on, you know, everybody on this side of the audience. Oh. And he points to the side that has the long side of
fuck
the L.
That.
You are all going to cheer for my side. And he talks up his jouster a little
what
bit.
What an asshole.
And then he gives it over
peace.
To me. And I look out at the audience. And I look at his side of the audience.
Yeah.
I look at my side of the audience. And I go, fuck.
Good.
And then I a huge laugh, and then I proceeded to talk up my
sure.
jouster. But that was one of the first improv experiences I had was this
nice.
Herald off, basically. Mm-hmm. And at the end, we talked up our our jousters, and at the end, they went up and did a little sissy slap fight, and that was the end of it. Like that
naturally.
Was the whole,
nice.
That was the whole joke.
Yeah.
It was him and I doing this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I picture when I hear joust off. Like, that's what I'm picturing is the joust herald.
Well, there's also
doing
the jousting mode of home game for Ville 10.
Oh, is that a thing now?
Mm-hmm. Where you have two
I've been
lines.
Out of the game too long, man.
You have two lines of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The front of each line, they're given... Each of them is given a topic, or they are both given one topic. And they come up with something as fast as possible that they think is going to be best and funniest. And part of it is speed, because the audience remembers the first one. But then the other thing is that you want it to be good. So there's a real fine fucking fiddly balance with
mm-hmm.
it. But at least with home game joust... we're given a word or a topic, and we come up with an insult based on that topic.
Sure.
And the better insult is the person who stays, and they go to the back of their line, and the other person fucks off.
Okay.
And so then, you know, you've got a line with four and a line with three, and then the person, you know, each person who's in the lead now, they're given a new topic or mm-hmm. a new word, whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, until there are only two people. And then right. whoever has the better joke survives and is the winner of mm-hmm. the competition. And it's fucking harrowing, which is why we make the amateurs do it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Because we're assholes.
I should go to one of those again.
They're great. This last show was
no, I fucking I believe it. I
yeah.
Ever since I retired from the show, I have not had the time
That's
to
fair.
See one.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, very in amber for me at this point. I'm almost like, I don't know if I want to, just because it is frozen in amber for me.
Yeah, the halcyon salad days of yore. Yeah.
So, yeah, either man. Way, we should probably take a break.
Yeah, we could do that, and then we'll come back and do the outro.
What's that?
The outro.
I'm sorry, I still didn't hear it.
The outro.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jake.
And Yay. We could really use some coffee.
Yeah, we could. You know where we should get that coffee?
TrueStoneCoffee.com?
Correct.
Should we use the promo code Apropos?
We should use the promo code Apropos.
And get 10% off our order?
10% every time.
Cool.
Yeah. Good.
That.
Yeah.
That's.
Good. That's how we're going to survive John laughing, honestly. I'm going to chug coffee.
That is the fastest we have ever gotten through that.
I believe so.
It's almost hot, like hot they're roasts, hopped up on cool coffee beans, already.
Or, no, what is it? I don't even, I can't even remember what it's supposed to be right now.
Yeah. Yes. Great roasts. It's cool. It's,
cool beans.
Yeah,
I'm forgetting right now. Sunny. Whatever. Either way.
You know, it's because we don't have any coffee.
It's
honestly,
probably
at
true.
The moment. So I'm going to go to
we got through it too.
It's the Malort, man. You got to top off that Malort with some coffee.
Fresh roast.
Fresh roast.
Cool beans. And they are.
True Stone Coffee.
They deliver it to your house.
Right to your door.
Yeah. It's
no, we're done, James. We're done.
Oh, okay.
We're done.
All right.
I mean, it is the most delicious coffee you will ever have.
We're done.
You're right.
Their t-shirts are amazing.
James, stop. Even if your name is on the bag when and it tells you the
it's
date
salsa,
that it was wrote.
It's too much.
God damn it.
Their tulip glasses are just.
No, James, we're done with
that. Oh, okay. Okay.
No. Fuck me. We're done with that, Ed. True Coffee's amazing. We're done.
Support them. They support us. All right. So
promo code Apropos. Jenna's not here. Fuck it.
So what I'm feeling is that Jenna is the glue that holds this all together as Salsa dissolves into a pile of giggles.
It like is Jenna's
some,
podcast.
Some podcasts have someone who keeps the train on the rails. Jenna is the rails.
I see.
And we're just a train out in a field right now. Yeah.
And by that we mean she's skinny and hard. And there's two of her.
I'm not going to say anything untoward, Jenna King of Phoenix, just in case. I'm sure she will hear this eventually.
She did have a date like that once, though.
I don't want to get murdered.
Right, that's my thought. So, I'm just like, I've seen her wield like a scimitar.
I'm
like not
Salsa out there in Murderville.
You know what?
Yeah.
I made peace with that.
Yeah, I know.
It's good to accept your end and your fate.
It's true. So, shout outs.
Let's do something else first.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because shout-outs, there's three of us, so there would only be three shout-outs. But this has five of something.
Should we do that first?
Yes, we should. We should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... you know him, you love him. Troy. Greetings, Apropostors. I hear you are low on Fast Fives again.
It's true.
This is true, as a matter of fact. Dear listeners, you should send some in.
Yes, please.
Oh, we should probably explain to the person.
Hi, I know nothing. Yeah. I was fully willing to just go, though. Okay. I mean,
when we appreciate this.
This is how a Fast Five works.
All right.
We are given, from a listener, five choices.
Yes. Okay. A or B.
We don't know what they mean.
Okay.
Ooh, no, we are not given the context.
The rules are, we are given five choices.
Yes.
We have to choose one of them.
One of those two choices for every five questions.
And it is only after we have made all of our choices...
For each of the five.
And stated them out loud.
Yes.
That we then open the second email and find out what it all means.
What we have chosen. Who is right and who is dead?
Who is not.
So it's a Mad Lib, but you die.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes. It is a fatal Mad Lib. Yes.
Sure.
So, all right.
Anyway, as I said, Troy, greetings, Hyperpostors. Here are your Lone Fast Fives again. We are. Send those in. I will tell you how later. If you didn't do one every week, you'd stop running out.
Oh.
There's
pacing, think about though? It. Rationing? But,
but then why would we?
But then,
however,
just Fat Five.
Since you appear to be addicted to them, I am here to be your dealer.
It's not an addiction. We can stop when we want.
No, we can't. I am jonesing for some more. Send them in, dear listeners.
Yes, please.
Question number one: smooth or rough?
Hmm. This might be a peanut butter question.
It could be sharks.
Chunky is usually.
Chunky,
yeah,
is
it's usually
the
chunky.
I wouldn't go with rough. I would smooth or rough.
There's a big debate. I mean,
it depends
on the
application.
Oh, certainly, and it definitely could be. But I'm just it doesn't smell like it to me.
Maybe it's like if you run out of toilet paper.
Ooh.
Yeah, but who would choose rough?
I mean, I assume it cleans better.
Well, then, how do you explain bidets?
They are the superior cleaning option.
And one would not I would hope one would not describe a bidet as rough. But one does.
The handle was there and I just pulled it and I didn't know that you slowly.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
And it was.
A surprise,
the same time, it was like solid jet lets you know you're clean.
I mean, I was clean. Mm-hmm. I was clean. Why? I was very clean.
Why are Americans so weird about bidets?
I don't think people in America like to think about using the bathroom.
No,
it's a mystery.
But the
mystery.
Argument
but they buy bidets toilet paper
over toilet paper like, is just, that, like, if you put your hand in poop, would you be satisfied cleaning it by just wiping it with some paper? No, you would want to use soap and water.
Oh, no, I am full on for bidets. I think they're a great option.
But why are Americans so weird about bidets?
I can't imagine.
I would like to
they're shy about their butts.
I was about to say, I would like to call out to the whole fellas, is it gay if you X? I don't know if you're familiar with this phenomena. There are lots of young men or not quite young men on the internet who will ask if doing a particular activity is gay or not when they are totally innocuous activities. fellas, is it gay if you kiss your girlfriend? I mean, she kisses other guys. So, yeah, exactly. The faces you're making is exactly how the face you should make for all of these questions. So is it gay if you wipe your own butt? Because, you know, it's butt stuff is gay.
No, there are tons of people who are super hard right MRA,
like
mega hat folks who believe that wiping your own ass is gay because you are touching a man's ass.
It doesn't matter that it's wrong.
No,
we are moving on.
Yeah.
What? We are moving on.
So that's
Unrelated.
Rough or smooth.
No, we are moving on.
Rough or smooth.
Ripple chips.
Ooh.
I don't.
Ripple chips or just like classic potato chips?
This is true.
Also, Steve Coogan had the best answer to that. I think his name is Steve Coogan. He does a stand-up
British comedian
called. The straightness of being gay, and he's like, people over here told me that having an earring in this ear, and he points to his right ear, it means you're gay, and where I come from, it's having your cock in another man's ass is a thing,
you know,
apparently.
Cultural differences, right, who's to say.
I'm gonna go with rough.
I'm going to choose smooth because I like to be, if anything, over-prepared, especially for performances and things like that. So I like it to go smoothly as possible.
See, I'm impatient, so I use rough sandpaper.
About you.
I use rough sandpaper to just get there.
So I'm going to stick with smooth. Jake?
So my favorite debate on the internet right now, I love watching debates on the internet, is the texture of shark skin. Because you would think a shark would be a very smooth... He's a smooth boy, right?
But no, it's sandpaper.
Right? That's... But so there was some innocent person on Twitter was just like, no, they're smooth boys. I know, I have pet sharks and they're very smooth. And all of the well-educated people are like, no, but you use them to like, you use like shark skin to like sand things down.
Yeah.
And this person just stuck to their guns. They're like, no, they're smooth boys. And then I recently found out last year that manta rays, right? Manta rays are part of the same family as sharks.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And I personally believe that manta rays are very smooth and they won't let me pet them to find out. So I'm going to say smooth.
I've pet manta ray before. They are smooth.
They're smooth boys.
Might
I like
be directionally
them.
Smooth, like mm-hmm. pine needles.
Hmm. It's possible. I mean, the reason that their skin is so sandpaper is because it has ridges that basically are little keels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? So if you go lengthwise, yeah, it would be smooth. But if you go sideways, it would definitely be rough.
So they're like ripple chips. They're like big.
They're not even close.
Big flappy.
I don't think you should put them in your mouth.
I guarantee nothing. Gummy sharks are amazing.
Oh, you're right.
Question number two. Sweet or sour?
Sour.
I prefer sweet wines and sour beers. I would go with... I prefer a sweeter condiment than a sour condiment.
Hmm.
I'm not allowed to go to Super America's unattended because I will, without fail, purchase an ungodly amount of the sour gummy worms that are the Super America brand.
I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that.
You know, but then you find bags of them, like, tucked into your couch, and you're not sure how long they've been there. They're still delicious, sure. So you still eat them. But, you know, some people might consider that indicative of an issue.
They one of the first people I talked about on this podcast was my friend Couchburger, whose crime is his nickname. He ate a burger out of the couch. I'm not allowed to eat Reese's Pieces or Reese's Pieces-shaped objects when I go to a movie theater.
Because you would have to phone home?
No, because my sister has forbidden it. So
she's not the boss of you.
In this case, she is.
Take a stand, James.
I won't, because it was my mistake.
Freedom! You can take away my Reese's
but I can't
Pieces.
I can eat Sour Patch
but
Kids.
You'll never take my virginity.
Well, it's my sister, so that's probably for the best.
Question number three.
So you said sour, right?
I did.
All right.
What did you say?
I said something with a Scottish accent.
Sour.
Sour, yes.
Yeah. Sour, okay.
They said sour because they left unattended.
Sour, I said sweet. Okay, yeah. Question number three. Monochrome.
Okay.
Or cassette.
Fuck.
I mean, one is visual and one is audio?
No, VHS tapes could be considered a cassette tape. I don't know anything, though. Who's to say?
I think the monochrome nature of the original Clerks lends it a certain credibility. And I love classic movies, and I just wrote a joke about classic films for the upcoming film noir Vilten. So I'm going to go monochrome.
I mean, I love Buster Keaton.
Sure.
Buster Keaton
Who
is
doesn't?
My
yeah.
absolute top hero.
All right.
But cassette, like, The first music I ever owned was on cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was more of an influence on me than old movies.
Hmm. Shit.
So I gotta go with cassette.
Oh, fuck. I made cassettes and listened to cassettes so much that I ran into that thing where listening to a song that you had listened to too many times on one side, I could flip it over. I would know. Well, on the other side, I have this other track.
Yeah.
So I'm going to flip it over and listen to that song instead.
Right. And then you stop at a certain point just at the beginning of the other song.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, cassette.
I'm going to say cassette. Conform.
Yeah. James. All right. We're all saying cassette.
No. No, I'm saying monochrome.
Oh.
I'm sticking with it.
All right. Monochrome, cassette, cassette.
Yeah.
Question number four. Near or far?
Near?
I already said it.
Far?
I already said it.
I know. I was there.
Okay. You didn't need to repeat it.
Far.
Near.
I prefer doing close-up magic to stage magic, so I'm going to go near.
I'm just used to working with small children who don't have a sense of personal boundaries. So,
fair.
Well, near or far case, matters very little in that case, my terms.
Near, far.
Far.
Wherever you are.
Question number five. Long.
Okay.
Or short.
Short.
I prefer short interactions with people.
Okay.
Because
you hate people.
Because I'm a misanthrope.
Yeah.
Misanthrope?
Misanthrope.
Misanthrope.
Yeah. I would believe to see him.
Oh, long.
Another one of those words.
Oh, long.
Another one of those words that you only see written and never said, so you don't know exactly how it's pronounced.
There's an album by the title Misanthrope, which is quite good.
I have my misanthropic moments. And by moments, I mean my life.
James has his thinking face.
Yeah. I would say that's like saying you have a sandwich with some bread. It's a club sandwich, salsa. Yeah, so...
An open-faced club sandwich?
Sandwich.
Open-faced club sandwiches, and I knew that's something coming.
Oh, yeah, well, fair.
What would that be?
I have to say short because I am, of course, short.
Fair. I'm going to say
my branding here.
Long because I very recently bonded with somebody else who is roughly my height because she and I have a mutual understanding of the difficulty of tallness.
Mm, makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't relate.
I know.
All right. Troy says, on to the context.
Dun, dun, dun.
Opening up the second email, and it says, Dear Apriposters, I hope you enjoyed these questions. I especially hope someone did a Grover impression for the near far.
Yeah, you did. Good job.
All right.
We're right.
Well,
fucking same page there, Troy.
Well done, Troy.
If you,
shit.
If you didn't. Shame on you.
Oh, yeah.
Deep, abiding shame.
Shame on you. Shame on your whole family.
But no,
shame
not shame on,
your
on
cow.
Me. Because I said it in the Grover voice. So
did.
Fuck you.
I don't know. I was really Troy. Reading Yoda when you said it for some reason.
It is, I believe, the same voice actor, isn't it? Frank Oz?
Yeah, it's Frank Oz.
Well, there you go.
Either way, it's, all
right,
it's...
No, but I definitely got Grover from Salsa.
I see how this shit is. That's fine.
Do you not know that routine?
No, I do.
Okay.
I think they're saying that you're better at Grover than I am.
Yes.
It is possible.
Which I'm fine with.
Now for the context.
Kind of.
Question number one, smooth or rough?
All right.
Do you prefer peanuts or creamy peanut butter? Not crunchy peanut butter, but peanuts.
Oh, right, peanuts.
Or creamy peanut butter. I figured you'd been asked crunchy or creamy before. That is an excellent spin on an old question.
Nicely done. And we did address the possibility of it being peanut butter, but we were misled. Well done.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic... God, I...
Complex I and different. Oh, I gotta go creamy peanut butter because you can make it a sauce for so many things.
No, we just got done talking up creamy peanut butter for a fucking half hour.
Fuck.
See, and I don't like, I have a tenuous relationship with peanut butter, but I have no relationship with peanuts.
Put it on a hot dog.
Yeah?
For real.
I believe this.
Put it on a hot dog.
But I put crunchy peanut butter in my ramen.
Yeah.
That tracks.
But I prefer crunchy to creamy, but that's not the question. The question is peanuts.
Yeah.
And I really love the that process of shelling.
There is something very zen about it.
There is. My for Christmas, I got a big fucking bag of pistachios. And I went through that, and then my wife is amazing and keeps buying me little bags of pistachios because I said that how much I liked them, and now I have at my work desk, I have a bag of pistachios that I go through.
Red.
And just the process of shelling them, because every little pistachio you get, like, instead of just glutting yourself on them, which is what I want to do, I need to, like, take that moment to peel it, and then you get that tiny little explosion of delicious, and then you have to work for it again.
I've never eaten a pistachio.
Oh.
I have lived a very strange life.
Shit.
I have an entire bag at my desk. We will talk about this afterwards.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love just crunching on peanuts. But I think I gotta go with peanut butter because we just got done fucking saying all the things you can do with peanut butter.
I mean, with peanuts, you could make peanut butter.
True.
You just—it's a little.
I watched Mr. Rogers do it.
That smacks of effort.
Effort in my house? It's more likely than you think.
I gotta go with peanut butter. I think.
Yeah.
I've talked myself into it.
Yeah.
So we're all on smooth then.
This is the point where Jenna would say, "That will kill me."
Yes, it will.
Question number two: sweet or sour?
Yes.
Do you prefer to eat gooseberries when they are ripe and sweet, or underripe and sour?
I've never had a gooseberry.
I like the sour ones better, even though I know that means they aren't ripe. That was Troy, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a gooseberry?
I have. I've had a gooseberry jam, which
is usually sweet.
Which was quite sweet.
That's the best I can come up with. I've never had a gooseberry.
I have to say, though, I like cranberry, though, and that's got a hard, sour flavor to it.
I used to eat mulberries when I was a kid, and mulberries, when they are underripe, also tend to have, like, a very tart, somewhere between tart and bitter.
Yeah.
Which is not quite sour, but somehow not inanalogous. How would you say that,
I suppose? It's apropos.
So gooseberries is not something that resonates with me, but different kinds of apples is something that we did grow up with.
I eat crab apples directly off the tree.
Crab apples are necessary, in my opinion, when you're making cider.
Fuck.
Because if you don't throw a little bit of crab apple in there, no matter what other varietals you use when I'm making cider, I've used a lot of different kinds of apples when I'm making cider. The one, like, X factor that I've always found is if I take a little bit of just smashed crabapple and put it in, like, secondary, just to give it a little bit of tartness.
Sure.
It just becomes too meh. Yeah. Like, it's not that it's sweet and therefore cloying or anything. It just kind of becomes
forgettable. There's the book and the show, which is, what is it, acid, heat, salt, and
whatever. Yeah, something. Yeah, I know what you're
but
talking
it's
about.
Adding that the sour acidity to things.
Mm-hmm.
It wakes it up.
It is to flavor what a highlighter is to a textbook.
Yeah, it wakes it up. It brings it forth. So because I don't have the reference of gooseberries, I can't speak to one another. But I'll go with sour just because I feel like sour probably has a little bit more memorable life to it.
I would say if sour gooseberries are anything like cranberry, that I would fuck those right
now. Like a sour cherry.
Oh,
fuck. Yeah. My mouth is watering. Shit.
It's been one of those episodes.
Yeah.
Question number three.
Yes.
Monochrome or tape drive? That was not what
cassette. You said cassette,
it said
Troy.
Cassette, Troy. You're changing things.
Done.
Monochrome or cassette is what he said earlier. If you were forced to only use monochrome monitors instead of any other monitor,
All right.
Or cassette tape drives instead of any other type of storage device from now on, with no way to work around them.
All right.
Which would you choose?
Tricky.
Troy says, I think using tape drives would be impossible these days given the volume of data. Although, I guess someone would figure out a way to do something with the RAID array using them to order and increase read write speed. Ooh. Yes, of course. I still would go with the monochrome because I'm colorblind and I wouldn't care.
Fair.
Valid.
But I still want to get my data quickly.
My first computer used tape for backups, TI-99/4A. Had like a separate one of those tape recorders,
yeah,
the tape deck, that had the little handle that I think all children used to make their own radio shows.
Yep.
That with a little 3-prong plug that went in to control it. That was the way that I saved everything on that computer.
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of used to it, and tapes actually have a kind of a super high density form factor now.
No, definitely. As long as you keep magnets away from them, they're fine.
Well, there's that.
But yeah, no, they're absolutely great data retention on that. But and he's right. By doing a RAID array, you could increase the speed, but you still wouldn't be able to get like a solid state hard drive speed. And
well, what you could do is load all of the data into an extensive catalog of RAM, and then it's just when you are writing something to a non-volatile memory that it would take fucking forever and take up so much space.
But I think grayscale would still be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you can do a lot with grayscale.
That's a fucking hard question.
I'm going to go with monochrome.
Yeah, okay. You sold me on it. I'll go monochrome.
You guys have used a lot of words that I vaguely understand.
Okay.
So I'm just going to just conform and say, yeah, monochrome. I don't need colors. Colors are for squares.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Question number 4.
All right.
Near or far? Would you rather live near your parents and siblings or far away from them?
Far away.
All things being equal, I'd rather live near them, but I don't.
I mean, well...
That's what Troy said, by the way.
It's kind of subjective.
Here's the thing. I would have said 5 years ago, I would have said as far the fuck away as possible. But now that I have children, I wish I lived closer to my parents so my kids could see my parents more often.
That's really sweet.
My daughter actually yesterday... 2 days ago, was like, I want to go visit grandma. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're going to do that. We're absolutely fucking going to. Yeah. That's going to happen this summer.
Sure.
Hells to the yes. Mm-hmm. That will happen. Mm. Because she sees my wife is from here.
Yeah.
And so she sees that side of the family. She sees all the fucking time. But she doesn't see.
Our podcast sees your mother-in-law frequently.
I wish they lived closer.
Yeah.
But not, like, next door.
Yeah, my parents are about 40 minutes drive from me.
That seems perfect.
It kind of is. I wish my sister and her family and my nephew lived closer.
Like, an hour away seems like we can go visit them on the weekends.
Yeah.
But they're not going to show up at our house every other day.
Right.
Like, that seems pretty great to me.
It fucking is.
I cannot see them for a month, but if I want to see them, I can.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like perfect. But unfortunately, there is no middle ground. There is only near or far.
I would say that's farther than it is near. If it's an hour drive, a lot of people would consider that to be onerous. So...
See, I lived in Texas, and an hour's drive is nothing. It's meaningless.
Oh, sure.
And so half of my family lives in Texas, and the other half lives in Michigan, where I'm from. And so my family is both near-ish and then far, which works out more or less. I do wish that my dad was closer. With that said, he lives in Texas where I left him. And that's not to say that I wish I had stayed in Texas, but rather I'm going to continue to try to peer pressure him to move to Minnesota, which I did earlier today by sending him a screenshot of a house for sale because it has 10 acres and it's pretty cheap for 10 acres. So I'm just going to start doing what my grandfather did and just send him newspaper articles about things going on in Minnesota. And kind of similarly, I one of my older brothers has three girl children who I two of them I was really close with when they were little. The third one is new, so I haven't met her yet even. And I do wish that they were close enough that I could hang out and interact with the kids more. And I have another brother who is recovering from schizophrenia and who I wish I was closer to so I could be a better support system than I think he's going to have on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to move the people I like to Minnesota. It's my clan. So, yeah. So I guess near-ish is, yeah, I would
say. I'm handing you a slip of paper with the name of an album.
Okay.
It is the Mountain Goats, All so, Hail West Texas.
I do know about the goat people, yeah.
Okay.
So we are going, so you've got near.
Near.
I'm going, again, 5 years ago I would have said far, but now I got to go with near because my kids.
I'm going to go far.
James is going far. He doesn't have kids.
That's okay.
Question number five. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Long or short?
Oh, no.
Would you rather be called James Worthy and Salsa Caliente or Jen, Jim, and Saul?
Saul is good. I made you that Better Call Salsa image.
Oh, yeah, there was that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I was Jim when I worked in a tire and lube shop.
That seems like a tire and lube name.
It is.
Yeah.
I would definitely go with Salsa Caliente, personally.
It's good. I would love to see that on a picture name badge, frankly.
I cheated.
Employee of the month.
Salsa Caliente Sterling.
I cheated by picking the name Jake, which is as short as it can possibly be.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
On the other hand, I do have one coworker who I have seen like maybe twice since I started working at this particular place of business, who routinely keeps trying to look at me and go, Jack, no. And then, correct herself, which is great.
So, in the spirit of the question...
Yeah.
I have also been called Jake Areno, on the other hand. Yes.
Okay, sometimes I'll do it Areno.
In the spirit of the question, and I'm...
Yeah.
I hope Troy is okay with me doing this. In the spirit of the question, would you rather be Jakeson or Jay?
Ooh. I don't think I can be Jay. I don't think I could do it. I think so.
You can pull off Jay.
I don't know. I know a couple of Jays.
Are they unsavory?
tricky question. No. I unfortunately know one Jay a little too well in that we occupied the same dwelling for a time, which was maybe not the best situation. Which is not to be held against anyone that was involved. It was just there was a lot going on.
Sure.
And we all hated each other for about 3 months. Yeah. So.
Roommate shit.
Right, yeah. Nobody was having a good time.
Yeah.
But also, that's I already have a hard enough time when we were in the same spot when people would go, Jay, and I'll be me. But it wasn't. It was never me. Which is fine. on the other hand, I was also in a show last year where there was me, Jake, a different Jake who was Tall Jake, and then a person who was playing a character named Jake who then became Fake Jake. So altogether, we were Tall Jake, Small Jake.
I have no idea what show you're talking about.
Yeah, you would never know. It's not like you were there. No.
But now you can go by Jakeson.
See? I have a friend, his name is Cody, and we routinely will do this exact thing with each other. So things I've called Cody, Codifer,
Coco Bean,
Coatsworth, and then he puts on a very posh British accent and school coat, sir, because I'm...
Well, we already have a James Worthy, so I couldn't go with a Jake Worthy.
We did do Codias also.
Ooh. So I'm going with long. James?
You don't even get to be James.
You know, I'm going to go with Jim because you might fucking remember it.
Jim, who are you? Jake?
I would go long, I would say. I enjoy when people just kind of take a name and run with it.
Awesome. I'm totally speaking for Jenna and saying she would go with Jenna.
Jenna.
Troy says, I was going to go with salsa verde for salsa.
Ooh.
But then I realized...
Oh, shit.
But then I realized he wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Oh, no, because the thing in the words. Ah, no.
Fuck.
What did I miss? He was absolutely right. So, I don't know what he's talking about.
Salsa verde is green salsa.
Green.
Oh, shit.
And of course, as we've established...
Motherfucker. That's really good. A handshake, Troy.
Also, I believe, the one who sent Salsa the puzzle that he's just struggling
with. No, that was Mud.
That was Mud?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. My mistake.
Troy continues. Useless fact.
Oh, boy.
My parents named me Troy because they wanted a name which couldn't be shortened or have an easy nickname made from it. They named my brother Eric the same reason. That's what my parents did.
Yeah.
My parents did specifically that. All of my brothers and sisters, I have five brothers and sisters, and myself, all have names that are not shortened.
Yeah.
That is not what my family did. My family, I have three older brothers. Their names are Jeff, Tim, and John. And those are all short names for other names, except for John. The problem is that we have Jeffrey, we have Timothy, and then we have John. Not Jonathan, just John.
Right, sure.
But nobody would believe him when he... My poor, poor, poor brother.
Yeah, we have Craig, Denise, Carl, Scott, Brian, and Robin.
Hmm.
And my parents specifically made sure that all of those names did not have a shortened nickname. Because my father's name is Robert, and everybody called him Bob.
Hmm.
I have a friend whose name is Robert, but I would always call him Bobbert.
And the thing is that my dad went by Bob for years amongst his friends.
Yeah.
But he would have, like, he worked at an, after he semi-retired from farming and worked at an ethanol plant, like, they got the shirts with their names on them, kind of like the auto parts, but, the work shirts. And he put Robert down on the form, and when they showed up, they said Bob.
Mm.
And he went to the manager and he was like, "You are going to make you're going to have these redone."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "That is not
what I put on the form.
My name is, I'm at work. Yeah. My name is Robert."
Yeah.
Because people made that assumption about him, and my dad hated that. And so,
I mean, when I switched,
like you said, amongst friends.
Charles and I worked at at the auto shop. We were Chuck and Jim. And when we switched to IT, we were Charles and James.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably 12 or 13 when I found out my dad's name was not, in fact, Butch.
Huh.
Right? So he was Butch my whole childhood. That's what my mom's entire family called him, right? His name is Tim. And so it wasn't until last year that I addressed this with him, because I was just like, because I asked him, you know, why did you go by Butch? And he's like, well, my friend Jim had a brother whose name was Tim. And so if we had two Tims, I was just going to be ridiculous. And they were in like a garage band in the 80s doing acid. So I can understand why that would be confusing.
Huh.
On the other hand, I looked at him and I was just like, Dad, you have two friends who are named Jim. Right. And he says, well, no, we didn't really call Jim. One of the Jims wasn't ever Jim, he was James. And then he stops and he thinks about it and he's just like, you know...
We could have fucking done that.
No, he's just like, you know...
We could have been Tames.
They're both named James and they both have the same middle name. And so that's when I realized there are five whole male names that make the circuit in Michigan. And that's it. That's all.
Fuck. Yeah, two of my friends, Charles, had the same problem because they're both Charles. And then... they both have a J middle name, Charles John and Charles James, so that neither of them could be CJ.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, as long as one was CJ and one was Charles.
Yeah.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
No, in college, there was a fuck ton of Bryans, which is why I started going by Salsa.
This is now the fourth origin story for this nickname that I have heard.
It is why all of them encouraged it.
True.
It is,
and I don't know. What I'm so confused about which one is accurate.
They are all true.
This is so fucked up.
Are they all the same amount of true?
Yes.
Okay.
They are all sequentially true.
Fuck.
Sequencing. That's where it gets you.
Yeah, no, because I heard two different stories on the early episodes of this
podcast. But here's the thing, though.
And then I asked him about it, and he told me a third and completely different reason.
The reason I encouraged it. Not.
All right.
It's not like it was like.
All right.
It was the reason I encouraged it to continue was because it was a lot of Brian's.
All right.
I was like, I can distinguish myself.
Okay.
He said, I hope these questions entertained you.
That was how I got the name Fuffa out at Fast.
And if
makes sense.
And if you didn't do a Grover impression even after I mentioned it, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I still did it. Troy and I were
rad.
Like, we're on the same wavelength.
Aww.
Love and cashews, Troy to Troy. Thank you so much. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the five choices, and the second one should repeat those choices and then include the context. If you are sending in more than one Fast Five, which you of course should do, make sure that they all have different subject lines so that Google doesn't thread them together and make it impossible for me to find them all. This is the point where I think we should move the shout-outs so we end on a more positive note.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, shout-out is to the...
Uninitiated,
to the people who don't know what I'm talking about. Wink.
It's similar.
This is where we say something positive about someone or something or a concept or a noun of some sort.
For example...
specific or non-specific as you want.
Gotcha.
I, for example, am going to give my shout-out to Jake for standing up and doing something that is incredibly fucking terrifying. And not only doing that once, but then also getting roped into doing that for Die Laughing. So, real good.
Thank you.
Congratulations. It is scary as hell, but worth it. And I hope you had a fucking blast, because you were amazing up on stage.
Thank you. I really did enjoy it. It was really good. Fun. I'll give a shout-out to my friend Bryn Berryhill, who has encouraged me to continue to do things with Fearless. She is a member of Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
She has been really supportive of kind of hearing bits and pieces of the set that I did tonight at Fearless Lab. And it's also encouraged me to continue doing things with Fearless in whatever capacity I can, and also encouraging me to perhaps apply and or audition for Fearless in the future. So, Bryn, it's all your fault.
I am going to give my shout-out to the Minnesota State Boys Hockey Tournament. The high school boys hockey tournament, which I attended this weekend and... was going to talk about, but meh. It was a fantastic. It was amazing hockey played. Some really, really fucking good games. I saw some wonderful hockey. I saw a lot of really good sportsmanship, which I always appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And the results did not go the way I wish they had, but all in all, it was a good weekend of hockey, which means nothing to anyone but me.
I enjoy hockey.
I enjoy hockey.
Okay, good.
We like hockey in this household.
Thanks for validating me, guys.
My favorite team is the Magicians.
Yes. They're in the playoffs this year. We're going to get.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
All right.
This is happening.
Get your Woo-hoo. Tickets early.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are the shout-outs. Does anything have anything... Does anybody have anything to plug?
I sure do.
What's that, James?
Then do it?
Oh, okay. March 22nd is going to be the Vilification Tennis Noir show.
Ooh.
And as you've just heard, I'm writing some jokes explicitly about that shit. And so if you like noir films, even if you've never seen a noir film, maybe watch one and then come see the show, because it'll be a lot of trench coats and detectives. And aside from that, we'll just be saying shitty things about one another, because that's what you do.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's I've seen some of the games and shit that we have planned, and I am excited. We're going to murder Tim Wick.
Awesome. I'm down.
I think he's completely okay deserves that, probably.
Yeah, that is what I've heard.
Anything else?
That is what is on the immediate horizon.
All right. Do you have anything to plug?
Not in particular, other than the fact that we are now entering into Human Combat Chess season.
Ooh.
Yes, so I was in Human Combat Chess for the first time last year, which I'm not even trying to be dramatic, has literally changed the entire course of my life. Which has literally led me to this basement at this very moment. Mm-hmm. If I had not done chess, I would not be here. You know, highs and lows, right?
Yeah, right.
But
life is a roller coaster.
It's really exciting. If you've never seen Human Combat Chess, try to imagine a combination of Wizard's Chess a la Harry Potter and WWE professional wrestling. And if that piques your fancy, you should search us on Facebook. You can also search us on Google. Also, hashtag assume the board always works. Performances are at the end of June. It's very exciting. We're doing something a little bit different this year.
But yeah.
Check out the websites and the social media to find out about that.
You just piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, what I'm going to talk about is Die Laughing.
Yeah.
Die Laughing is coming up in just 2 weeks!
Oh, no! Oh, wait.
Do you know what that means, people?
I'm going to die.
That means you need to start budgeting for this.
And start planning.
Because
oh shit,
Die Laughing is Fearless Comedy Productions' biggest fundraiser of the year.
Yes, it is.
This is where we raise the money to do the shows that we do. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
We are doing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead this spring.
You are like the third group of people I've heard talking about this play in the last 3 weeks.
We do original shows. We do a show every fall where we get five people who have never written before and five people who have never directed before, and we get them all together and we do a fucking show because people need to learn how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And we encourage that stuff. And we do funny shit.
Oh, yeah.
Fearless does amazing stuff, and it is all down to this 50. We're not doing this for our own fucking good, because it's not good for us. We are doing this so Fearless Comedy Productions can bring you comedy for the next year, and that takes money, and that is what we are doing this for. So start saving now. If you usually spend money on that fucking bagel on your way to work, hey, maybe make yourself a sandwich, a piece of bread with toast in the morning, and save that cash. That way you have $5 more to donate to Fearless.
Cowboy stew.
Leftovers for the month.
A lot of leftovers. That way you have 10 extra dollars.
And if you've been spending a lot of money on dates and things like that, I want to say eating 10 cans of beans, that'll fix it.
Instead of dates, switch to prunes.
Bring your date to Die Laughing.
Apricots.
Oh, that, yeah.
Mm.
And save that money, because your $5 can go towards somebody getting hit with a kendo stick.
Even just fucking $5 is amazing.
Your $10 can go to have somebody walk across.
Yeah, you can watch.
I don't even know what the challenges are. Like all sorts of crazy shit.
Ooh.
Oh shit! Ooh. So I'm hosting with Bryn, and I believe it's Saturday morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And we've got some fucking things planned.
I have some stupid shit planned, and we'll talk about that next week. That's going to be our fucking Die Laughing show. We are absolutely going to talk about all of the stuff that we are in. We're going to talk about all the challenges and stuff. But what I'm telling you right now is,
start
to
a little bit
preparing for that.
Yeah,
because yes, we have been preparing for it for fucking months at this point. But we're asking you right now, start looking at your budget and going, where can I shake loose another fiver?
Yeah.
Where can I shake loose another 10?
Punish Tim Wick.
And if you absolutely cannot, we understand. We absolutely understand. We were starving college students at 1.2.
We also accept donations of time.
I have a lot of, I have debt. I have a car payment and stuff like that. I get it. If you can't donate anything, tell other people. Tell other people about it, share it, and just watch it. Go to the theater and watch it.
Yeah.
Because this thing is way better if people are in the audience.
Yeah.
Even if you can't give money. If you can't give money, that's a little better. But even if you can't get money, mark out those days on your calendar. It doesn't matter what time you should do them. What time should I go? Doesn't matter. Go whenever you fucking feel like.
Maybe you've already donated money to the Facebook fundraiser to see my hair get dyed for the first time.
That's the thing.
Along with Eric Thompson, curse the French, and Duck Washington, we're all going to be getting our hair dyed together if the money gets raised. I'm not looking forward to it. So far, the front runner is dark blue. We'll see.
Yep.
But and we will wear that all die laughing.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, I'll probably have it for a good long time.
But
you've already donated your money, and if you are already planning to come and see the shows, if you have a little bit of time, please go to dielaughingmarathon.com, look at our volunteer form, and
well said.
Find an hour. If you can give us an hour of your time, there are plenty of ways that you can donate your time, and we would really appreciate it. It takes a lot of people to make this show work.
So donate your time, donate your money, donate your
laughter.
Donate your ears, your laughter. This is very, very, very important to us. And like I said, we'll talk about that more next week, but I really, really want to plant that ear, that seed in your ear.
We do have some family-friendly bits also. There's
Nope. There
are some different levels of what how appropriate your comedy is. So if you have little ones with small ears, there are shows that will cater to them as well. You can kind of check what the roster is on the website, I believe.
Yeah.
You can also look at a lot of the individual acts will post on Facebook what time they are, and they'll tell you exactly what the idea is.
If you go to the Die Laughing website and you look at the schedule, which is available from the menu at the top, you can sort by appropriateness. You
That's
can
a
mark
new thing this year.
What
this
you want amazing. To see as far as, you know, is this going to be family-friendly? Is it going to be good for teens? Or is it going to be grown-up humor? Or is it just going to be totally fucking offensive? So there's that. You can also sort by comedy type if you prefer improv, stand-up, music, experimental shit.
It's going to be...
You can sort by that, too.
It's going to be a fantastic Die Laughing.
Yes.
Moving on. Thank you so, so very much for listening once again to this show. To every single person who downloads this and listens to it, and you know who you are. Thank you to everybody who writes in a Fast Five.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much to Jay!
Woo!
For last fucking minute just going, you know, I'll fucking do this thing that I don't know anything about.
That a lot lately.
That is super fearless. It embodies what fearless is, and we appreciate it a great deal. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, if she was here, may she rest in peace. Thank you so very much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.